Okay, we're in the Drusha Shvi, we're at the end of it. We had said last time that any place that the Jewish people are not allowed to conquer for whatever reason, it's a land that we Hashem said you can't conquer them, like Ammon and Moab. So if it gets taken over by some other nation, then it's up for grabs. Then we can conquer it. So with this, he wants to explain that which is known as the Halal HaGadol, the Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilam Chasto, that long list we say on Shabbos morning and Yontif morning, all the Hodus, the Kili Olam Chastos, that whole long list. So in that it says, Vayarog Melachim Adirim, Lamaki Melachim Gedolim Kili Olam Chasto, Vayarog Melachim Adirim Kili Olam Chasto. It says Hashem destroyed and killed great kings. Then it says, the Sichon Melech HaAmori, La'og Melech HaBashan, Kili Olam Chasto, each, V'nosan Artsin, L'nachla, Nachla Yisalavdo. And he gave their land, L'nachla, to Yisrael. So he wants to know, the Parshas Drachim doesn't understand why what is this long-winded version of saying one story. It tells you first that Hashem destroyed great kings. It didn't tell you who the kings were. It's like a secret. It doesn't tell you who the kings are. And then it says, and then that was to give their eretz for an achlam to Yisrael. Why didn't it say Sichon Melech HaMori to start with? Why the stima beforehand? So Rashi says that first part that says Vayirug Melachim Gedolim, that's referring to the Lamed Aleph Melachims that the Jews conquered after they went into Eretz Israel. The Parshas Drachim doesn't like that because then it's out of order. First we hit Sichon Melech HaMori and then came the Lamed Aleph Melachim. For he doesn't like that pshat. Anyway, what the pshat he wants to say is exactly this point we've been saying, that Vayirug Melachim Adirim does not refer to Sichon Melech HaMori. It refers to Ammon and Moab. Hashem destroyed Ammon and Moab for Sichon Melech HaMori and Og Melech HaBashan to conquer. And why did Hashem want Sichon Melech HaMori and Og Melech HaBashan to take over Ammon and Moab? That's, he gave their eretz l'nachla, nachla Yisrael avdo, so that it could eventually be taken over by Klal Yisrael. So that's the whole long thing. It was saying that the Ammon and Moab were taken over, that's the Melech Adirim. And it was given to Sichon Melech HaMori, and why is that Klal Yisrael should take it over? Okay, so with this, he wants to explain the Medrash that many of us are familiar, most of it, with from Rashi. Maybe not the entire thing, as we'll say it, but the first Rashi and Chumash about that the Torah starts with Bereishis, because to tell you that. When the Jews will conquer Eretz Israel, the Goyim will say, "Hey, you're a nation of you're thieves. You stole this land from the Canaanim." So Hashem says, "I created the world. I can give the world to whoever I want to." So the Medrash that the Parshas Drachim quotes is in Bereishis Rabbah and Parsha Aleph, Simen Gimel. It says that when the Goyim say that you are thieves, that you stole Eretz Yisrael, your conquering nation. So the Yisrael will say back to them, "You guys do it too. Hala umashal bezuzas atem. You also take over lands and capture them. You also colonize, or you're colonial. And hala avim hayoshrim bechatzer madazar kaftorim hayotzer mikaftor shmidum yoshvu tachtom. And furthermore, the kaftorim did it. They took over the avim. Rather, the whole world is Hashem's. He can give it to whoever he wants and take it away from whoever he wants." Okay, so he says that the Mizrahi says that this Medrash is telling you two reasons, two responses to the Gayim. One is, you guys do it too. And second one is that, if you're going to say, well, just because we did it, two rights don't make it wrong, you'll say, well, look, we're allowed because Hashem decided to give it to us and Hashem owns the world and he can do whatever he wants. So it's two different responses. So the Parshas Drachim is not happy with that, because what's the first response? Who thinks it is okay? Two wrongs don't make a right. If it was wrong, it's not a good response to say you did it too, because that wouldn't explain why we could do it. So he wants to explain it with the following. He explains that there's, the Mizrahi mentions that there seems to be a machlokas in Midrashim about whether Eretz Yisrael fell in the chelik of shame or the chelik of cham. Because the Rashi by Chevron, Sheva Shanim Nivnas Alifnei Tzoran Mitzrayim, talks about Chum building Chevron. So it sounds like it was in the land of Chum. And then the other Rashi, but Haknani Az Ba'aretz, where Rashi says that Avram was Holich Vikovish Eseretz Yisrael Mizaro Shal Shem, sounds like it fell in the land of shame. But the Re'im there asks, that if you hold it was in the chelik of shame, the chelik of cham rather, then you would understand why the Goyim would be complaining that we stole it from them. But if it's in the chelik of shame, why would they be saying we stole it from them? We are also part of shame. And he answers, okay, they'll be upset that we didn't give them their portion. Then he asks, and if you're going to say, either way, Canaan took it over, right? Canaan is certainly not from shame. So, if that's the taina, that we took it from Canaan, so what are they kvetching about that? Canaan is the evid of shame. And it's also our evid. So it'd be the same answer. They didn't give us, we didn't give the Goyim a chelik. So whether it was Canaan's and we took it from Canaan, but Canaan's the evid of shame, or whether the land was in the land of shame, in either of those two options, the taina would be, why didn't we give it to, why didn't we give the Goyim their chelik? So he explains that that's what that medrash is referring to, that they're saying, we stole Eretz Yisrael, and we're saying back to them, yeah, but it was stolen from shame. It was taken over by Canaan. And once something is taken over by another nation, so then you can take it back, and then then no one else owns it anymore. In other words, once it's taken over by some other nation, even if you previously had no right to it, now that it was taken over by some other nation, you do have a right to it. So it was supposed to be, at least part of it was supposed to be our land, then it's taken over by Canaan. Once Canaan takes it over, so then we have a right to go and take that over from them. And then once we do that, we're allowed to take the whole thing. Because again, once something is taken over by, if something was not yours, but was taken over by someone else, then you take it over, then you have the right to take it over from them. And that's the proof from the Kaftorim that the Kaftorim did it. It's not to say that two wrongs make a right. It's trying to show you that if there's somebody that is usher for you to take over, like it was in that case, where the Avim were Edom, which we weren't allowed to take over, and the Kaftorim took it over from the Avim, at that point we're allowed to attack, because even though Avim, which that Pasuk is talking about, is Edom, which we weren't allowed to attack, once the Kaftorim took it over, we can. So to here, once Canaan took over, so then we can take over the whole of Eretz Yisrael without giving them their chelik, because it was taken over by someone else. The bottom line of it, the gist is that we're trying to say that once another nation takes over a nation, even if beforehand I had no right to it, once it's taken over by another nation, then you have a right to take it. Okay, why is another? That's another question. But that's where we're coming out. That's what he's saying, the Medrash is saying. Okay, now we got to get back to something fascinating, which is at the beginning of this drasha. The drasha had started off with talking about giving tzedakah. And it was telling you the order of tzedakah. If there's a poor person, so you should give to the people of your city first, and they come before another city, and the people from Eretz Yisrael come before Aniyei Chutz La'aretz. Now this is the point where we need. It says, Minayin she'aniyei Eretz Yisrael kodmel Aniyei Chutz La'aretz. How do you know the poor people of Israel come before the poor people of Chutz La'aretz? Tamalome ba'aretzecha. It says that if there is a poor person in your Aretzecha, that comes first, Israel. Minayim shaf Chutz La'aretz kein. And how do you know Chutz La'aretz is as well? Tamalome asher Hashem lekecha nosin lach. As it says, Hashem gave it to you. What in the world does that mean? What do you mean, Minayin shaf Chutz La'aretz kein? Are we saying, how do you know that you have to give tzedakah at all in Chutz La'aretz? What would it mean, Minayin shaf? It just said, the Aniyim of Eretz Yisrael come before Aniyim. Minayin shaf Chutz La'aretz kein. What does it mean by that? So he wants to suggest the following, that he already explained it's based on the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita of Yovel, that if a Jewish king takes over any land, that means New York City, whatever, but he takes it over Kedino, meaning he followed all the rules. All of Eretz Yisrael was already conquered, like he did all the things he was supposed to. And the Melech Yisrael then goes ahead and decides to take over whatever, New York City, it becomes Chayiv and Trumas and Maestros. How do you like that? That's the Halacha, becomes like Eretz Yisrael, becomes Chayiv and Trumas and Maestros. Okay. So, in other words, it becomes like Eretz Yisrael. So he says that that's what that it's referring to, how do you know a land that a Jewish king took over in Chutz La'aretz, that it has a din of Eretz Yisrael, in that the people who live in that land come before other places, and that's Tamalomar, that it's the land Hashem gave us, it becomes like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's like it's chayiv in Trumas and Maishas as well. Okay, that's it. Next time we'll start the Drush Shmini.